If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to another episode of But Why, the podcast is all about digging into big questions and tricky topics via honest conversations. This week we're going to be looking at endometriosis. Today's guest wrote a piece for Mother of All List called Why I Wouldn't Wish Endo on My Worst Enemy. Truthfully, it was the first time I ever understood what a debilitating condition endometriosis is, and not only that, it's one that's hugely misunderstood. She describes it as having a heartbreaking effect on her life and is incredibly passionate about raising awareness of it. Without further ado, let me introduce to you Emma Tully, and let's get cracking with the episode. I always start with three important questions. How are you really? What star sign are you? And what's your favourite biscuit?
Oh, wow. I love that. Because one, I am a big fan of biscuits. So I'm loving that. First one, how am I really? I feel like that's interesting at the moment because what day are we today? We're Thursday? Mm-hmm. Tuesday I had quite an appointment, which on my Instagram I've not even been able to talk about it, where usually I'm very open and very honest, and usually, like, with my friends, family, everyone, like, I've got to that point in my life now where I can be open and honest everything, but I'm finding it hard to get the words out about everything that's going on. So it's intense at the moment because I had an appointment on Tuesday because of, I feel like I'm jumping straight into it at the moment.
No, go for it. This
yeah,
is
fine. It's literally, it's just
mental. I am going to loop back to your biscuits.
As I say, my biscuits, we need to get onto the biscuits. This is important, but biscuits are equally important if I'm being honest. I had a tough appointment on Tuesday where because of everything with my endometriosis, it's resulting that I'm near enough certain, because my consultant's having to speak to one of his colleagues, but I'm going to have a stoma bag. And even saying that out loud, I physically start getting clammy. Feel sick. I've not cried yet about it. Like, I feel numb. I feel empty. So that's how I feel. I feel empty. If I could describe it any way, I feel empty, which is, for me, it's just not a good emotion, because I am someone who feels all the emotions usually. I'm such an emotional person. Whether it's, you know, if I see like an advert that's emotional, I'll cry. But for me, feeling numb,
unusual experience.
Yeah, exactly. And that goes back to my star sign, where, because I'm a Cancer star sign. So I'm very like, I'll be crying 1 minute, you know, happy tears, sad tears, whatever, but then I'll be a moody ass. Do you know what I mean? Which is surprising for a lot of people, because I am very, like, a happy-go-lucky person. But then if someone pisses me off, am I allowed to swear?
Yeah.
I was going to say, if someone pisses me off, I'll be like, you know, I can easily go in a mood quite, like, even though if my husband annoys me, I'll be like, that's that. Yeah, well, I'll go back in a good mood, like, you know, within 5 minutes, but I can go in a bit of a moody ass. Like,
nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
and your biscuit.
Lord. Yeah, now, I feel like I've got a top 100 because I eat biscuits so much. Honestly.
Passionate.
I am a snacker. I am passionate about my biscuits. So what's the name of the ones where they're like, there's like a a creamy center, but then there's like the round and like hobnobby.
You got it.
Do you know which one
it is? Foxy's Crunch Cream.
Oh my god.
Number one.
Oh my lord.
Number one.
I feel like I eat them until they're coming up my ears. Yeah. Like, I've literally had like five just sitting here now with my cup of tea.
As in,
have you
been eating them today, just now?
Oh my lord. I've had like five literally just like while I was just sitting here with my brew. Whenever I have a cup of tea, I have biscuits.
You know,
I can't have a cup of tea without biscuits.
And you picked an excellent biscuit. Well done.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad that they're a little ray of sunshine. Yeah. Are you going for just the standard ones or the ginger ones? People have been telling me about a chocolate one, which I haven't had.
You're joking me. Yeah. Oh my God, don't tell me that.
Yeah. I feel like I'm going to bag some kind of sponsorship because
God, you should.
I'm really passionate about them too. But now I'm going to have to go and buy them straight after. But yeah, to definitely. Loop back to where you started, I'm sitting here thinking, how do I dance around this? Because I don't want to push you into something that you're still...
Don't dance, seriously.
But the numb, you know, we go numb when our mind's trying to protect us, I think.
That's literally it.
You're in a kind of what for me would feel like a kind of grief before the thing. You know, often when hard things happen, when you're doing them, you cope with them, but this weird space you're in now, kind of knowing it's coming, but you're not there, must feel just a no man's. What time kind of time frame have they given you, or have they not?
There's no time frame at all at the moment, just because of everything that's going on. Like, I hate to say it, because of COVID, the time scale is just no man's land, and you've literally banged the nail on the head, where it is like, I was talking to a friend about it the other day. And it's like, for me, my mind, whether I like it or not, goes into survival mode. Mm. And it's very much like, I go into a grief process. So I always do this. Whenever I get bad news of my health, which is quite a regular occurrence, I always go into survival mode. And I always go into a grief process. I always get this shock stage where I go numb. And it's like my brain just goes... Mm-hmm. I'm going to look after you now. I'm going to go into survival mode. Then I go into anger. Then I go into pure devastation. And then I go into acceptance. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, right, come on now, let's do this. Mm. And I go into warrior mode. And I'm like, I'm going to fight this with all that I've got. But it's always a process. And I never know how long it's going to be. Sometimes it's really quick. Sometimes it's just, I need time. And like I was saying that to my mum, where my mum's like, come on, let's go out and go for a bit of lunch, a bit of, you know, retail therapy. I was like, no. I don't need any of that right now. I need time. That's what I need. I need time to, you know, grieve this process. And like, I don't know when this surgery will be or another surgery that I've got to have for ovarian remnant, which is another major operation. I have no idea when these operations are going to be. Like a lot of girls that are going out there at the moment, this, because of COVID, everything is so up in the air at the moment. There's so many people that are suffering so much at the moment because of the waiting times. The waiting times are just heartbreaking. They really are. And it's just the whole thing of we're just in absolute limbo, we really are.
Which is such an impossible place to be for all these reasons we've just talked about, because you can't do anything. You've just got to wait. No. And, you know, we'll go back a step and explain about it too. But I imagine there's also quite a lot of pain, physical pain involved in during this time as well. And pain without knowing where that is going to end is a special kind of hell, isn't it?
It is. It's a thing of like when you've got that physical pain there constantly reminding you, like I'm sitting here now talking to you, and it's like someone with a hammer constantly going, I'm here, and it's like no matter how much you, because I'm a big believer in distraction, like no matter how much you're out there socializing with friends, or like we had, you know, my daughter's friends around last night, you know, for dinner and everything, and I'm, you know, constantly like, you know, trying to distract myself and this, that and the other, but you've got that little hammer going, well, I'm here. Like, I'm never not in pain. I'm never not feeling it. So it's like, no matter how much you're trying to distract yourself, you're always in that pain. So everyone's gone home, everyone's in bed and this, that and the other. And then I'm the one at midnight running myself a boiling hot bath because I'm like, oh my God, just calm down. Like trying to ease the pain, and I'll be 2 a.m. then just pacing around just like, oh God, just try and sleep because I can't sleep because the pain's too much. And it's like, so no matter how much people say, oh, try and distract yourself with this, that and the other, I'm like, I'm desperately trying. And it's like, you know, your appointments aren't coming for God knows how long because of waiting lists and everything. And it's like, it's the waiting, it's the constant wait, and it's exhausting, you know, physically, mentally, yeah. Emotionally.
That's the thing. I imagine, again, I'm projecting because I have no idea what you're living through, but they're having to, yeah, bring your everything you can to do a very normal dinner with your daughter and her friends is a really draining way to do it. And also, I'm kind of in awe of the capacity of humans to do that, to go, right, I am in constant pain, but I'm going to somehow be out of my body enough to put on this brave face. And
that is a scary thing. Like, if when you say it out loud, it's 1 in 10. Like, that is the scary thing. It's 1 in 10 of us. And it's like, I can't get my head around that. And like, you'll be walking into a shopping mall or into a supermarket, anything like that, and you look at all these, you know, different women, different girls, whatever. And like, girls are starting their periods from the age of 9. And you think, like, my daughter's like going to be turning 7 soon. And I think, I can't get my head around that. That there'll be girls in my daughter's school who'll be starting their periods in a matter of 2 years' time, possibly. And they could have endometriosis.
Be none the wiser.
And it's like, and they'll be none the wiser unless they're educated in the right way. And it's like, how is that possible that it's 1 in 10, but so many people don't know about endometriosis? Like, the amount of people that I've said to about endometriosis, and sometimes they vaguely know about it. They're like, I think I heard about it, but so many people don't have a clue what it is,
and also don't understand the how severe it can be. So talk me through from what I understand, it's from your very first period onwards.
It was literally, yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong, it's not always like that for some people. Sometimes it can start later. But for me, it was literally from the very, very beginning. I started when I was 10. And for anyone starting a period, it's, you know, a huge, momentous occasion. But for me, it was bam, from the off, where I was in the middle of the night, and I can't describe it. It was just horrific, where it was just, and I'm not being dramatic, it was just blood all over my bed sheets, and I was just petrified because I had no idea. I didn't really speak about periods with anyone much that I can, you know, remember.
I don't think we did. No, I don't think we did. Like, a little bit. Like, my only period education, my mum had a go at it.
Yeah.
But, like, Hello God, It's Me, Margaret, which is a very dated book, and again, fairly terrifying. But it wasn't a normalised conversation at all, even for everybody. But anyhow.
No, I was very much the same. I remember, like, a little thing in primary school, but I don't ever remember it being a big thing at all. And it was literally just so much blood, and this pain was just absolutely intense. And I was such a fit girl before then, and I remember just my poor mum and dad, I remember running into my parents' bedroom with blood everywhere and just sobbing, and my mum putting me into her shower and just cleaning me down. And I remember thinking, right, when she finally settled me down, I'm thinking, okay, well, that's over now. Like, that was obviously just a one-off type of thing. But it just carried on for 14 days. And every night I'd wake up, oh my God, blood, shower, 1 a.m, something like that. Every night, same thing. And I would be wearing these sanitary towels that are literally like nappies. It was just, there was so, and this was a 10-year-old, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it was a child,
so, really. It's literally like a baby, do you know what I mean? Like, it was just ridiculous. Like, I think about Belle and I just say, oh, God, no. So I would be, like, saying, like, my mum would say to teachers, like, and I would say to teachers, like, I need to go to the toilet. Like, my mum wrote letters to teachers, but they still were like, but you've been to the toilet. You don't need to go to the toilet again. So I would literally leak through onto the chair and everything. And no, they still never let me go to the toilet enough. So like I say, I'd leak everywhere. But it was just the excruciating pain. So it got to a point where when I was 13, I had all these awful nosebleeds and this, that and the other. And they diagnosed me with this blood condition, von Willebrand's. And they were like, ah, that's why you're bleeding so much. And I was like, okay, I understand the bleeding, but why am I in this awful pain? And it was like, that's just what some periods are like. Don't worry about it. You know, you put on the pill, you'll be fine. And the pain was just not getting any better at all. And it was literally, when I say the pain, it wasn't just in my pelvic area. It was literally my lower back was excruciating. My legs were excruciating. But at this point, my whole body was really struggling because I also had my appendix out. And they said about, you know, could be growing pains and this and the other. And at this point, I was getting loads of diagnoses for different things. So I was like having problems with like heart murmurs and chronic migraines, and I was diagnosed with fibromyalgia and all these different things, curves in my spine. Like, it was literally like a load of different things were going on. So they were more interested in, well, we'll look into this and look into that. And I was like, but my periods, they're awful. And oh, no, we're more interested in that and that. And I was like, yeah, but I'm really struggling with my periods. And it was only when I was 16 that they finally sent me to have an ultrasound. And it was like, the ultrasound was like, oh, it's fine. You're obviously hunky-dory and everything. And I was like, it can't be.
No,
it can't be. I'm literally not. And I was literally like becoming anemic and having blood transfusions. Yeah. Not blood transfusions, iron transfusions, all the rest of it. And finally, when I was 20, and they put me under coil, which was absolutely awful for me personally. When I was 20, they started giving me post-op injections, which was, for me, personally awful, which is basically what puts you in a false menopause to stop the estrogen being produced. And they gave me no time to process it at all. It was literally, we're going to put you on post-op injections. I was like, when? Now? And it was literally injecting me there and then. And that's it. I was on the menopause from 20. And they basically said, and that's the first time I heard the word endometriosis. They
really?
It was after all those years? After all those years, they said, it will stop your estrogen being produced. And if this helps the pain, it could be because you've got something called endometriosis. But they never went into detail. It was just that's what it could be. We'll give it 6 months, see how the pain subsides, blah, blah, blah. I was like, right, okay. Within a month and a half, my pain just went right down. But the symptoms of the post-op, I was just completely depressed. I was dripping with sweat. The symptoms are just brutal. Like menopause, but brutal. My hair fell out in clumps. I was literally like rocking on the floor, sobbing. It was awful. They finally agreed when I was 21 to give me keyhole surgery, which is basically the only way you can really diagnose endometriosis. Finally at 21, we're going to give you a keyhole surgery. Great, finally, someone's listened to me. Did the keyhole surgery, didn't find anything. They said, you've got something called, I can never pronounce it to this day, adenomyosis. I think I'm pronouncing it right, you know, apologise if I'm not. But no endometriosis. I was like, how are you not finding it? The problem was, it was a general gynae surgeon. Now, to this day, I'll say to anyone, if you feel you've got endometriosis, but they don't find anything, please, please, please make sure it's an endometriosis specialist surgeon, because the amount of times they don't find anything and it is there, but it must be with an endometriosis specialist surgeon, because then a matter of 6 months later, I went to an endometriosis specialist surgeon. He went back in and it was, they found stage 4 endometriosis everywhere. And it was just insane from then on.
Can you explain actually what endometriosis is for anyone who doesn't know?
It's basically something, cells similar to where it like, it grows after, the problem is, it's like, everyone believes that it's something that grows inside the uterus and it's, you know, it's hard to explain, but it grows outside the uterus. So it's not, everyone's like, oh, it's a gynecological condition. It really isn't. It's a whole body condition. But it's basically cells that are similar to the lining of a womb, but it's not the lining of a womb. And it grows outside and it'll grow wherever it wants. But then every time you're on a period, it will shed and it will just attach to wherever it wants. It will attach to the bowel, it will attach to any organ it wants. But every time you are when the estrogen is produced or, you know, you have a period, it will just grow more and more and more. But yeah, it's, if you have any sort of estrogen, even that's the problem, even when you have a full hysterectomy like I have, if you have estrogen in any part of your body, which there are different, like you have estrogen even in your body fat, you'll grow more endometriosis, and endometriosis has its own estrogen, so it'll grow by itself. So that's the thing, like everyone thinks like you have a full hysterectomy, that's it, you're cured, but you're not cured. There's no cure for it.
I've got so many things I want to ask you. First of all, like huge empathy for the fact that you're going through, in the early part of this, you're going through it at a point when your body feels alien to you anyway, you know, in your teens, and you've got no comprehension of what is normal and what's not, because everything is topsy-turvy. But that thing you've mentioned a couple of times where you just knew, but you're not necessarily have got the maturity to advocate for yourself in the way that you would now with as an adult. But that must have been so difficult. And also I'm thinking, you're trying to make your way in the world as a teenage girl and everything that entails whilst going through something so indescribable. Yeah, it's mind-boggling.
It was, without a doubt, the most petrifying time. And it was just heartbreaking, because it was heartbreaking for me. And even as a teenager, it was heartbreaking to see my parents pulling their hair out. And, like, especially now as a parent myself, I think, how do you cope as a parent seeing that? But, like, as a teenager, I was literally, like, I would literally go to bed on my own, like when everything calmed down type of thing, you know, like I'd be around my friends, I would try to put on a brave face because everyone knew something was seriously wrong. Do you know what I mean? Like all my friends had normal periods and I'd be like, am I just being dramatic? Do you know what I mean? Because surely everyone's dealing with the same type of pain and no one's really talking about it, because now, you know, I talk very openly about stuff, but back then I was very, like, I didn't say boots and goose about it type of thing.
Especially back then, as we're saying, regular periods weren't really talked about, you know. I remember stuffing sanitary towels up my jumper to try and go and I wouldn't have talked to my friends about, like, I knew kind of when people started their periods, but we didn't, like, talk about it as a regular piece of language, for sure.
No, definitely not. And it was just such a dirty word. You never, ever spoke about it at all. So when I would say, oh, I'm going to hospital about my periods, I'd be like, why? Like, why are you going about your periods type of thing? And, like, I'd go to bed at the end of the day and I would literally just sob. And it would be like, what is wrong with me? Why am I in so much pain? And why am I on for so long? And it'd be literally, it would just be a very, very lonely place because I just didn't know what was going on at all. And to have doctors, like I had one doctor because the problem is, because it attached to my bowel so severely, which they didn't know at this point, obviously. And I remember distinctly the first time I started bleeding from my bowel. I was on a night out when I was 19 with my two friends, and I had one glass of wine, and I remember my stomach literally, you'd think I was heavily pregnant, and I was in Wetherspoons, and I went to the toilet, classy Wetherspoons, and I remember my stomach just like, as if something popped. It was literally really? This most excruciating pain, and I just went, oh my God. And it was literally like this blood came gushing out of me. Okay. And I phoned my mum and dad, and I was rushed into hospital. My dad and mum drove me in, and it was just constantly pumping, pumping, pumping out of me. Did anyone, everyone was just like, in the hospital, was like, you must have a terrible tummy bug. And I was kept in for 5 nights, and it was, did, not once did I have a scan, not once did anyone do anything. It was literally, you must just have a really bad tummy bug. And for years, I went to gastroenterology and everything, and they did colonoscopies. But again, you look in, wouldn't pick it up. And it was only when I was diagnosed with endometriosis, and this doctor turned to me and my mum and said, oh, we thought you were making it up. We honestly thought, and I would take pictures of the blood in the toilet, show them, and be like, this is how much blood I'm losing. It's not just like a little skid mark.
Yeah.
It's literally dark, full pan of blood, and this is what's happening.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And it's not just like once a day, or I mean, literally every time I go, oh, we honestly thought you were just making it up. And my mum was just like, I honestly thought my mum was going to deck her. And back then, I was the one who would just sit there and not say anything. Mm-hmm. And my mum was just like, you know, I can't say anything because they'll discharge and this, that, and the other. Now, me, I'm the one who's like, say that again? Like, you know, I'll stand up for myself and be like, because I say to girls every day, advocate for yourself, stand up for yourself, like, know your worth, like, you must speak up for yourself. But, oh, back then, I'd take it all, but not now.
Bless you. And then what do you think the turning point was? Well, I've got a few questions. I'm interested in endometriosis in relation to fertility and your experience with that.
Oh, it was so, so hard because I got with my husband when I was just turned 21, and they basically said, before I met my husband, like I say, I literally not long got diagnosed when I met him, and I got diagnosed not long after, sorry. And they basically were like, this is stage 4 and it is everywhere type of thing. And from then on, it was have keyhole surgery, prostate injections, keyhole surgery, prostate injections. And it was like constant, so like every time they did a surgery, even though I had the prostate injections, it was just getting worse, worse and worse. And every time I went, it was like, you need to have a hysterectomy because this is getting really bad. And it was getting to a point where everything was getting so restricted in there with adhesions, endometriosis, and I was having like fibroids that were like 5 centimeters, 6 centimeters big and everything. And it was like endometriomas, which are basically cysts filled with blood and all the rest of it. And it was like, I just don't see how this is ever going to happen. Like, I don't see how I'm ever going to be able to have a child at all. And for me, that was just devastating beyond words, because I adore children. I always wanted 4 children. I don't know why it was always 4, and it was always like my husband, like he was like, from the moment I met him, like literally, like we moved in together after 6 weeks of knowing each other. We've been together 15 years now, and like he was just, from the moment I met him, he was like, I'm obsessed with children. I was like, I'm obsessed with children, blah blah blah. And the thought of not having children was just not an option at all. But it was just getting worse and worse and worse in there. But for a lot of women, I mean, I think it's, don't quote me on it, I think it's 35% of women, their fertility are affected. And there's so many reasons, because like the fallopian tubes will be blocked up and things like that. But thank God, we conceive naturally. But I, to this day, I don't know how. I mean, when I told my surgeon that I was pregnant, he literally was like, he took my hand and he said, this is a miracle child. Honestly, I to this day, I do not know how we have our daughter. I don't.
And so when, again, this is me not understanding the science, does pregnancy give you some respite from the conditions of endometriosis?
It gives respite as far as, like, because your estrogen levels and stuff like that, you know, the endometriosis side of things will be a lot better for a lot of women. But as far as, like, if you've had a lot of surgeries previously, your adhesions and stuff like that, you get an awful lot of adhesion pain, stretching pain, stuff like that. Like, it for me personally, and a lot of women, as soon as you find out you've got endometriosis, or especially stage 4 endometriosis, something like that, you'll be put under high risk. So there's some women who would have to have, I personally, thank God, didn't have to have a C-section, because, you know, obviously the recovery period afterwards, stuff like that. But a lot of women, like myself, had to be high risk, and I had to be really highly monitored. But the adhesion pain, I had SPD literally from
early on.
Very, very early on. I was on crutches from the 14 weeks. But the adhesion pain was insane. So you're constantly panicking because you're like, what's that pain? Because I literally from very, very early on, I just was in so much pain. I was thinking, well, what's that? What's this? And there was one point where I thought I honestly lost my plug, because it was like this huge dark blob came out and stuff like that. It's just all these different scary moments that happened. But as far as my endometriosis pain, that really calmed down. It's like your estrogen levels right down.
And then fill me in. You've mentioned earlier that you've had a hysterectomy, which is a huge decision to have to make. What were the time frames between having your daughter and that being the decision that was made?
So from the age of 19, 20, doctors would say to me, you know that this is going to have to happen one day, even before I was even diagnosed with endometriosis, because it was just a case of the amount of pain and bleeding, like to be bleeding that much every month. And then, like I say, because it was just, no matter how much Prozac I was on, no matter how much surgery I was having, my endometriosis was just getting inhumane. And then I had Belle when I was 27, and I ended up having to have what I call C hysterectomies, because I had to have it in C surgeries when I had it booked in when I was 30, and then I had to have it when I was 31, just because of the waiting list and everything. But like I say, I had it in C surgeries, and one was 7 hours and the other two were 8 hours, and the damage that was caused with my sliced aorta, one time they nicked it, one time they sliced it in half, and the different stents I had, and perforated bowels, and it was just, like, everyone's like, oh, you just had a hysterectomy, or no, I had it with an awful lot of damage. But then it's like, now everyone's like, okay, again, you know, you're cured, and it's like, well, no, in 12 days' time, I think it is, I'm going back to a surgeon in Manchester who's, because I've been diagnosed again with, for the second time, ovarian remnant syndrome, and that's going to be the most insane operation if they think it's not too risky to remove that again. because no matter how much they remove everything, if they leave a sliver of ovary with me, it keeps growing back and I keep getting cysts and the pain is just insane, absolutely insane.
How do you, I mean, it's such a lot to cope with, isn't it?
It's, do you know what, for me, it's like, I feel like I was saying to my friend the other day, I feel, and this is me being brutally honest, because I've always been such a positive person. I've always been so focused and everything. But at the moment, I just feel like a bottle of, not in a good way, but I feel like a bottle of pop. Like, you know, a bottle of lemonade, where it's like, it's so tightly screwed and there's so many bubbles in there. And it's just like someone's shaking it really, really hard. And it's like going, come on now, stop adding things. Like, you know, it's just like you're taking the mick a bit. And it's just like, and I feel like that's endometriosis all over, because everyone thinks, and we keep saying this, like, it's just a bad period. And it's not. No. It's not just a gynecological condition. It's a whole body condition, because it's been found in every part of the body. It's been found in the brain. It's been found in the spleen. It's been found everywhere. Like, there's not been one organ in the body that's not been found. And it's like, it's the symptoms that it causes. It's the migraines. Like, I'm talking to you now, I've got an absolutely horrific migraine. It's a migraine. It's the leg pain. It's the pain during sex. It's how it's causing people to have stoma bags. It's how people are having to have catheters for months and months and months and months on end, and how people are having their lungs punctured because of it. You know, I don't know how much more people need to say before people realise how this is a life-changing condition.
It's mad that it's not put up there with the most serious, you know, it's every bit as serious as the most, as all the most serious conditions, isn't it?
That's it.
But why, how can it not, you know, I thought I understood it, both through, you know, knowing you and through family friends and family that have it. But even so, I didn't understand it. I really didn't until our conversation today. And I'm listening to you thinking, as per the title of your list, you wouldn't wish it on your worst enemy. Yet there are people struggling through this and not being given the help that they need. Do you get any kind of support in terms, because I'm imagining you can't work, or broadly you can't work?
No, I mean, that's it. Like, because it started so young and it was like from the off, it was so severe and everything, I've never been able to have a normal job. So I've always tried to do little things here and there, whether it's, you know, doing fundraising for Endometriosis UK, or like I'm trying now to do freelance photography. Like, so I'll do like family portraits for people, but that for me is I'll do 20 minutes taking photographs for people, but then that's it, and that will floor me. That will literally floor me. But then I will do, I'm passionate about spreading awareness, as you know, so I love to do things like I'll do writing for people, but that for me is something that I absolutely love. But I could never work somewhere like that. There's just no way. It's never been a possibility. Like, when I was much younger, when I was about 17, 18, because I don't know why I'm obsessed with hotels and everything, I did three hours in a hotel receptionist. I don't know why, they were so kind to me that they said, you can try it out here. I wasn't paid. It was just like a thing of, you know, just to see how you manage type of thing. I swear to God, I was physically shaking because I wasn't able to sit down, because obviously, like, people were running around, this and the other. Because I had to stand for the 3 hours, I can't even describe it. And it broke my heart, because it was so fun. It was just, and I was meeting, because I'm such a people person, I love meeting them and this, that and the other. Oh my God, it was just, and getting that headspace around, like, what's my worth, and like, there's, you know, because people see me where, you know, I love putting my lippy on, I love, you know, looking normal, whatever normal is, word normal is such a a weird one anyway, but like people see me and they think, there's nothing wrong with you, like, you know, because I don't go round with a crutch, or it's hard for me because I am so passionate about spreading awareness, and on Instagram I am very open and this and the other, but on the school run or, you know, with my friends and stuff, I don't talk about it unless it's a close friend who says to me, now Emma, how are you, like, really, how are you? I don't talk about it. I don't sit down with people and say, well, do you know what? I've not shat for 8 days and I'm like feeling like that. You know, I really am someone who's very just talks about normal stuff. I love to have a cup of tea and my biscuits and, like, you know, have a good chin wag with people. And I love asking people how they are, because I'd like to divert the attention onto other people.
Well, also, you don't want it to be your entire life, and it is already eaten up so much of it. Again, this is me projecting, but it's stolen a lot from you, and I
100%.
I don't blame you for not wanting to talk about the school run. It's so mad, isn't it, that actually all we end up wanting is kind of an average existence, and that's the greatest gift there is. What for you? What are the chances of your sister, your daughter having? Is it hereditary? Is it a hereditary condition?
It is a hereditary condition. So that for me, that is something that there's me saying I can't cry, but that for me is that I can't even bet, like, on my life, like when we found out we were pregnant, and Dan was like, he's always been obsessed with the thought of having a girl, like he's just adores like the thought of having a girl and everything. And when we were like having the scan and everything, and the lady said, like, you're having a girl. Mm. He absolutely sobbed, and I sobbed, like, seeing him crying and everything. On my life, my first thought was, I'm so happy that Dan's so happy, like, we're having a girl and everything. My second thought, within a second, was, oh, my gosh, like, she could have endometriosis one day. And that is the saddest thing ever, the thought of... like, I should be celebrating, but my second thought was, oh my God, like, the thought of her going through even a hundredth of what I've gone through and will go through, I can't even bear it. Like, this morning, I mean, it's probably just ate too much because Belle has a wonderful appetite, but she literally was saying about, I've got a bit of tummy ache, and I was like, oh, you know, it just, and I brush it off. I'm very, like, not brush it off, but I'm just like, oh, you're fine. You know, you're grounded. But, you know, just like, don't, please, don't, just don't. I can't bear it. I literally can't bear it.
Yeah, I mean, everything in me wants to say something that will kind of make it feel all right. The only positive I can think is she's got you on side. And, you know, you're an expert in this. You're an amazing advocate. I hope things have changed or changing. Yeah, I mean, of course, it's the worst thing you can imagine. But she's not going to repeat the experience that you've had for all those reasons, which kind of leads me to a good wiggling towards a conclusion. What I'm sitting here thinking, what on earth can all of us do to raise awareness in this? What's an actual useful action?
Just shout about it. Like, that, literally shout about it. Like, if you know anyone about it, like, listen, obviously, you know, and just, it is just about, like, I am, like I've said, and you know, like, I am so, so passionate about it. And if it's, and like we said, like, 1 in 10, you know, have this condition, 1 in 10, it's the same amount of people that have diabetes. You know, it's such a common condition. If there's any way it can get out there, like, doing things like this, you know, is such a huge thing. It's just about spreading awareness, like, and I'm determined, like, one day this will be such a well-known thing. Like, I am determined, like, and there's a day when Belle's, like, a teenager, or when her, please God, she has children, if she so wishes, whatever, like, I am determined that it's going to be so well known that people will be bored to hell of it. You know, it's just, it's just about spreading awareness. Like, I can't say, like, it's going to be, you know, cured one day. I can't say that, but it's going to be so well known, and people are going to hear our voices.
And again, I don't understand the science, but from what you're saying, if you're talking about stage four, I'm imagining the earlier you get diagnosed and the earlier things are understood, the better the outcome. So that's it's not a cure, but it is, yeah, the more 100%. we know. Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, you know, stage four, it's not as far as pain. I mean, you could be stage one and you'd be in the same amount of pain. It's just a case of stage one is the amount you have, if you get me.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, if you're diagnosed earlier, you'll be less endometriosis.
Mm.
So early diagnosis is key. There's no doubt about it.
And if someone's listening here, you know, because I imagine there's people who could suffer for a long time.
Oh my gosh.
With no idea. Again, it's that thing of, I think when we talk about period pains and heavy periods, number one, I think that most periods, if they're normal, shouldn't be painful. Therefore, if you are experiencing pain, it shouldn't be a case that you need something to get through each month. And therefore, I mean, advocating for getting to the doctors, I suppose, and not suffering in silence.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a case of being your own superhero in the sense of like being your own advocate, and knowledge is power, in the sense of, like, you know, print off, like, say from Endometriosis UK, the list of symptoms, or from the NICE guidelines, the list of symptoms of endometriosis. So when you go to your GP, you can be like, here, this is the symptoms. If you suffer with them symptoms, it doesn't have to be all of them. You know, you don't have to have all of the symptoms of endometriosis. But if you really struggle with some or all of them symptoms, you can be like, look, this is what I suffer with. So you have to refer me to, you know, gynae. Like, you have to be your own advocate and be like, if you won't refer me, I'll go to someone else. Like, don't stand your ground. Don't let them, you know, say, oh, well, I don't know, I'll put you on a pill. No, I want to be referred to a proper endometriosis specialist. You know, you can request to be referred to a certain specialist as well. Don't be let them pushing you around, quite frankly. Don't be, what, you know, it's 8 years on average to be diagnosed.
Long
eight
time.
8 years. It's a lot just of, far, far yeah. too long.
Yeah, it is.
So just be your own advocate and really research things. Like, honestly, I've always said that knowledge is power. Mm-hmm. Like, you really need to know, like, your symptoms and make a diary, like, when the symptoms are, like, so you can go there and say, this is when my symptoms are, blah, blah, blah. Like, you need to be your own advocate. It's tiring. It's so tiring, but just be your own advocate.
Oh. My heart, it's a heartbreaking situation, and I'm just trying to draw some of your strength where, yeah, you've got to keep fighting the fight and shouting the shout and yeah, try and raise awareness for you. Exactly. So we all understand in a shorthand what diabetes is, and this should be exactly the same. Before we go, I've got two more questions. And also, I'm so full of gratitude that I know you must be in pain with your migraine and everything else.
Not at all.
That you've sat through this. I think, thank you. Because
not at all, thank you.
Can't be easy. But two things. Where can people find you, and what do you want to shout about?
Okay, so my page on Instagram is Mummy's Pain in the Arse, which is, to this day, I think, like, I could have had a better name, but
no,
literally, Belle was being a pain in my arse that day, so...
It's memorable.
And I get pains in my ass as well. So I thought it was like kill two birds with one stone.
Yeah.
So yeah. So that's my Instagram page. And what else did you ask me?
I said, what do you want to shout about? I mean, I think we know.
Literally, yeah. Endometriosis is just, yeah. Whenever, if you feel you've got it, or if you feel someone else has got it, your girlfriend, your mum, anything, just yeah. Please, just it's there's so many people who have got it. Or could have it, so please spread awareness on it, because it's not going anywhere.
And last one, if you could have an honest conversation with one person, who would it be, and what would you say?
Oh my God, do you know what? I am obsessed with Marilyn Monroe.
Good answer.
Like, literally, I'm obsessed with her. And they do say that she had endometriosis herself.
No way.
Yeah, yeah. Because I don't know if you've ever seen it. If you type in to Google Marilyn Monroe and endometriosis, because she apparently had surgery for it. And she put on, before she went down to surgery, like a letter to her surgeon saying, please don't take my ovaries, because she wanted to have children. Apparently she had a lot of miscarriages and everything. And I would just love to have an honest conversation with her about it. But I'm obsessed with like the pinup and all the rest of it.
But that's so important to remember, you know, this most beautiful, iconic woman is suffering. And
yeah.
You know, it just makes you reframe everything, doesn't it?
Exactly. But yeah, I'm slightly obsessed with it.
Well, that's a great answer. I never know what people are going to say. People sometimes go, you know, younger versions of themselves or teachers, and sometimes they pull out something like this. Marilyn. Oh,
I just love her.
Marilyn, you can have a pack of biscuits and a cup of tea with Marilyn Monroe.
Oh, my God, dream.
She'd like a dream. Biscuit, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I love her. Yeah. Vicky's with Marilyn.
Yeah, there you go. What a way to end. Thank you so very much. I really mean it from the bottom of my heart. You're an absolute warrior. Doing things when you're in pain is a nightmare. But that's, you know, I kept wanting to message you saying, oh, tell me when it's a good time. But unfortunately for you, yeah, you've got to just try and carry on as best you can.
No, honestly, pleasure. Thank you so much for asking.
Well, that was a humbling experience. It's quite a strange thing to sit there and be aware that the person opposite you, who is being so engaging and intelligent and inspiring, is also in an awful lot of pain. And she does it with such grace. But as well as being in awe of her, I feel hugely frustrated and a bit embarrassed that I didn't have as much of an idea about the extent and the severity of endometriosis, and that is something that impacts 1 in 10 women. That's a huge, huge number. And as Emma said, if you think about the children in my kids' classes at school, the idea of that some of those girls, that this fate is headed their way, it's heartbreaking. So as per her request, let's keep talking about it. Let's bang the drum, let's make more people known. And if this does ring any bells for you, please, please don't suffer in silence. Get yourself to the GP and get the help you so rightly deserve. Thank you so much to Emma. Thank you guys for listening. Please do join me next week. In the meantime, rate, review, subscribe, leave comments, share it, all that stuff. It'd be great. I'm actually going to go and have my nails done this afternoon, and I think I'm going to transition away from the red and corals of summer and move into a dark shade, which means we are definitely heading into autumn. Wishing you a lovely day, and see you next week. Bye.